Hey, good morning. Good to see everybody here today. Hope the Lord has blessed your morning thus far. Today I want to talk about something that many of us experience. It's about disappointment and the difference between disappointment and discouragement. In 2009, my family and I packed up our little apartment and moved from beautiful San Diego to North Texas. We were going to plant a church. We had a huge send-off from friends and family. Through the denomination that was sponsoring us, we were promised that people on the other end in Dallas were waiting to help us get going. The area was ripe for harvest. We heard stories that everybody loves God, but not everybody attends church. So just open your doors and they will come. Wow, could things have not been further from reality? When we got on the ground there, we had no support at all. Most people, although polite, would have nothing to do with our invites to church. No teams or people were waiting to help. A few expressed that they would, but failed to show up when they were needed. Everything we tried backfired. Every time we left to finish up my classes back in California, we returned to find families gone, with no explanation as to why. We do outreaches and in-reaches. We'd have prayer meetings and community building parties. Yet nothing we tried worked. God eventually and mercifully closed the church plant. To say we were a little disappointed is to understate it massively. Liana handled it better than I did. I often teetered on discouragement, but I never allowed it to stay. I learned that God wanted to show us something about ourselves and ministry that would provide huge rewards down the road. God showed us how to handle rejection and disappointment with grace. Had we not experienced those things, we would not have known how to minister through it and to help others who have also felt the sting of rejection and disappointment in their lives. If I had allowed discouragement to set in and take root, we would never have been of any further use in God's kingdom. Much of our current ministry has actually been birthed through the pain of disappointment. So today I want to talk about disappointment because, like I mentioned, it's common to all of us. Specifically, I want to show you how it differs from discouragement. Unfortunately, some Christians wrongfully think that it's a sin to be disappointed. That to be disappointed is to express doubt in God and discontentment with His will, but that could not be further from the truth. Part of the human condition is to feel disappointed from time to time. Even the Bible is replete with examples of disappointment. Jesus Himself was disappointed on several occasions. He was disappointed with the Pharisees. He was disappointed that only one leper came back to thank Him. He was disappointed in the disciples' lack of faith, love, and understanding on several occasions. King David was disappointed with bloodthirsty Joab and Absalom, his own son, among many others. Moses was disappointed with the Hebrews when he came down from the mountain. Abraham was disappointed that God was taking so long to fulfill His promise. Esau was disappointed when he realized he had sold his birthright for a cup of soup. The disciples were disappointed when their king was nailed to a cross and did not resist. Paul was disappointed with Peter's blind hypocrisy towards the Gentiles. You see, disappointment is part of life, and it is not a sin to feel it. Disappointments can be allowed by God to be used to make us stronger. Like when He tests us. But it can become sin when we allow disappointment to become discouragement and then we remain there. You see, discouragement comes from the enemy who tempts us to make us weaker and steal our hope. Let's define disappointment. A disappointment is an emotional response to a failed expectation or desire. I'll say that again. A disappointment is an emotional response to a failed expectation or desire. Maybe your plans didn't go the way you thought they would, and you were disappointed. Maybe you had a desire for something that did not happen, did not come your way and you felt disappointment. You felt disappointed. Disappointments in life are inevitable, and there is nothing we can do to prevent them from coming other than having low expectations of everything. And who wants to live like that? That's no fun. So the reality is we don't have any control over disappointments as to whether or not they will come or even when they will come. But we do have control over discouragement. It comes by choice. It is our responsibility to rule over discouragement. I'll say that again. It's our responsibility to rule over discouragement. You ever heard the story of Cain and Abel? Flip over to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Adam knew his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept the flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. You see the disappointment in there? Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. That would be discouragement. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were there in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. You see, Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's was rejected. Subsequently, Cain let his disappointment become discouragement, which led to anger, bitterness, and eventually murder. But long before he murdered his brother, God came to him and said, "Cain, why the long face? Do you not know that you can still present an acceptable sacrifice? You need to be careful, however, because sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is to rule over you." The implication is that Cain needed to rule over it instead. He was in control of his disappointment. He could either use his disappointment to motivate him to do better, or he could allow his disappointment to become discouragement and then anger, bitterness, murder, and so forth. You know, we have that choice too, daily, to not let discouragement in the door. One of the things they do not teach in seminary is how to deal with disappointment. I don't understand why, because it's actually a ministry killer. In the ministry, I'm forever being disappointed with things. Most of the time, I'm disappointed with my own heart and sin. Sometimes I'm disappointed in prayers that seem to go unanswered. I'm disappointed in people's response to God's love. But these disappointments come with the territory of ministry. I've learned to trust God without letting disappointments turn into discouragement. I turn them over to God. Sometimes I express my disappointment with God's will, like David did on many occasions. But I'm careful not to let my heart become discouraged. Because once disappointment becomes discouragement, then the devil comes in and really starts messing with things. You know, discouragement is one of Satan's primary weapons against the believer. If he can get us discouraged, he can effectively sideline us from the action. Discouragement affects our love as we become dulled to the suffering of others. It affects our love for God and can keep us from a deeper relationship with Him. It can affect our faith and our trust in God's Word. Discouragement keeps us focused on ourselves, which usually leads to depression. Yep, discouragement is a ministry killer. According to the Barna Research Group, who many of you have heard of before, more than 4,000 churches closed in America in 2020. Over that same time, over 20,000 pastors left the ministry. And 50% of current pastors say they would leave the ministry if they had another way of making a living. The departure is primarily linked to discouragement. Satan wants to use every disappointment that comes our way and turn it into discouragement. And he will if we let him. We make an agreement with the devil when we say, it's never going to get better. Or, I'm stuck and help is not coming. Or, why even try? It won't make a difference. Those words come from a spirit of discouragement. Has anyone ever heard those voices? If you have, just know that it's the devil up to his old tricks. So how do we fight them off? Well, we fight them off with the Word of God. Part of our defense against Satan's tactics is remembering what the Bible says when a spirit of discouragement tries to make our disappointments something worse than they are. So there are three simple but important steps from God's Word that will help us guard against discouragement when disappointments arise. The first is to confess our trust in God and remember who is on our side. This is what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, if you want to turn there. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. See, this comes from a heart of someone who needed to remember that God is for them, that God is on his side as he is on our side. And so we need to take the word and be reminded of God's greatness and his faithfulness. Paul added in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Words so true. So our response is, after reading these passages in Scripture and being reaffirmed of God's omnipotence and his greatness, we respond in this way. God, I trust you to handle this thing in which I'm disappointed. You see what's going on. You know my hurt. Please come and minister comfort to my soul. The second step is to acknowledge God's total control of all things. The psalmist writes again in Psalm 147, 5. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Man, so often we face disappointments and we forget that God wants to be in the middle of our disappointments. He wants us to turn to him. Isaiah wrote in chapter 40, verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Wow. So this God that wants to enter into our disappointments, he is powerful. He never leaves us nor forsake us. He is the everlasting God. And he does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. This is the God who will take our disappointments and turn them to victories. So in lieu of these scriptures I just read to you, we might respond like this in step two. As we acknowledge God's total control of all things. God, Father, I know that you're on the job. Therefore, I will not despair or accept discouragement because I know that you are in control. You know more than I do and what is best for me. So I submit my disappointments to you. And the third step is to believe that God will turn challenging circumstances to your good, that he will bring the victories out of disappointments. Romans 8:28. This is what Paul writes to the Romans, to the Christians in Rome. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So our prayer to God in step three might go like this. Father, I'm disappointed. But your word says that all things work out for good for those who are called according to your purposes in Christ Jesus. So I know you have things under control, and I trust you to bring good out of my disappointment. So what can we conclude? Though disappointment can sting, it can also be a tool used by God to take us to new heights and teach us about ourselves. It can motivate us to get better at things and stimulate determination and perseverance, which God desires in all of his soldiers. You know, when I was around 13 years old, our family moved to a new location. It caused me to be put in a new school district. And I subsequently, when I was trying out for baseball, it put me in unfamiliar surroundings. People didn't know me. I didn't know them. And I tried out for the local baseball league, and I was not selected. To say that I was disappointed is probably an understatement. Now, I could have used that rejection to start spiraling down and having a self-pity party, and it would have led to discouragement, and I may not have ever played baseball again, which I immensely enjoy to this day. So instead of letting disappointment turn to discouragement, I gave my disappointment over to the Lord. He began to motivate me to practice. I found a friend who was like-minded. He loved baseball, and we used to go out just about every day. We'd work on fielding, catching, pitching, hitting, throwing. It was baseball all the time. The following year, when I tried out for, we had moved back to another league, and I had to try out again. And I tried out, only this time I was selected to the team. I made it. All the practice that the disappointment had motivated me to do now was helping to achieve greater things. And from that time on, every year I made all-stars. When we went into a high school league, there were something, I guess like 30 or 40 guys trying out for the high school team, and only 12 positions opened. There might have been 13 as I recall. I tried out for the high school team. I was one of the 13 that actually made the team. If I had let discouragement and disappointment take hold back when I was 13, I would have never had the enjoyment of playing baseball, of getting better at what I do. In fact, those skills really stayed with me the rest of my life. So I could have let discouragement rule me, but I determined to get better so that they couldn't say no next time. And I asked God to help me get better. So disappointment, as you see, can be a good thing if processed in a healthy way. We cannot stop trying to achieve things because we are afraid of disappointment. Besides, because we are Christians, we have an advantage that unbelievers do not, and that is the Holy Spirit. Is there anything that we can't do in Christ? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Paul writes in Philippians 4:13. In fact, the only limits that are placed on us are the limits that we place on ourselves. I'll say that again. The only limits that are placed on us are the limits we place on ourselves. So finally, do not allow disappointment to turn into discouragement. You've got to stop it before it gets there. Discouragement is from the devil. It will steal your joy and it will steal your life. It will steal your love, your faith, and your hope. And that is just what Satan has set out to do to the children of God. Steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says that he prowls about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy. Discouragement are one of his most often used tools that actually have teeth in them. But we serve the God of hope. When we have hope, what is there to be discouraged about? This is why it's so important to be faithful in attending church. We are strengthened and encouraged in fellowship. It's why worship is so important, because we are strengthened when we praise God and recount His greatness and His glory. In addition, be studying the Word, because God's amazing and enduring promises are given to place courage in us. Discouragement is when courage is pulled out of us. To discourage means to pull courage out. But encouragement is when courage is placed in us. Let's be an encouragement to each other, even if we are experiencing disappointment. The three steps I've shared with you can be used to minister to others who have or are experiencing disappointment or discouragement. So let me pray with you this morning. Maybe you're here today and you have been experiencing disappointment, and perhaps it's even flipped over to discouragement, and you're asking the questions of why even try. What's the use? What good is it going to do if I do this? Again, those are the words of discouragement. They come from a spirit of discouragement. But God wants to encourage you this morning. He wants to appoint you to greatness. He wants to bring victory in your life. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I give my disappointments to you. I release all my fear of rejection, my fear of man. I release my fear of what if to you. I give the cracks in my heart to you. I've been so disappointed. Father, I give my discouragement to you. And yes, Lord, even though it's from a spirit of hell, I take ownership of that discouragement. It's my responsibility to come against it. So I ask your forgiveness this morning for entering into an agreement with the enemy and believing the lies of discouragement. I hand those over to you. I repent. And I tell the spirit of discouragement to get out of my life right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I know that the blood of Jesus covers all my disappointments. And the blood of Jesus brings me victory. And now I call upon the blood of Jesus on my life, on the situations I'm going through, on the circumstances I'm facing. I call upon the blood of Jesus to be my fighter. I thank you, God, for the victory in the Son of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for coming today. And if there's anything that you need prayer for, come on up. I would love to pray with you. If not, have a great day. Bye-bye.